And we look at some of the greatest people that we know. And we realize that anyone can and almost all will at one time or another in their life, some more than others, become discouraged. They become frustrated with the way things seem to be going in their lives. Some of the greatest Bible characters that we read about in the pages of God's Word are victims of discouragement. Life, of course, has its high points as well as its low points. It has peaks and valleys, as all of us know. And from time to time, as I mentioned, every one of us gets discouraged. But what did these Bible characters do about it, first of all? One we want to look at first is the one that was introduced, of course, in our reading. That is Elijah. We're told in verse 4, as it was read for us, he himself, that is Elijah, after leaving his servant behind, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. That is the depths of discouragement. He said, this is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. Elijah had just seen a great victory of God over the idols that the people were worshiping at the time. All day long they had sang and danced and ranted to their gods who did not accept their sacrifice. And with a simple prayer, the Lord's sacrifice was accepted. He had run all the way down the mountain, all the way to the palace of Ahab and Jezebel. And now he's gone even further. He's gone all the way south to Beersheba. He's worn out. He has nothing left. He's physically exalted, lost his faith in others to keep God's laws. His enemies were out to kill him. He believed that he was the only righteous one left. He was very discouraged. But what did God have to say to him? In verse 18, God told him, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Elijah thought he was alone. God said, you're not alone. 7,000 remain in Israel who are still my faithful children. Another example that we have is David. Psalm 42 and verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? David says. And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. The exact time of this discouragement that David addresses here in chapter 42, we're not going to read, as I said, the whole thing. We'll just look at the end of it here. If you go back and read the first 10 verses, there is some point of discouragement in his life. We don't know for certain, as I mentioned, which one it is. However, we do know that on one particular occasion, he was very discouraged, and that was at the death of his child due to his own sin. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 through 19, the Lord struck the child that was Uriah's wife, that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground, so that the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died, and the servants of David were afraid to tell him that his child was dead, for they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. David has just lost something that is very cherished. His child by the wife of Uriah. He is fasting and in prayer, lying on the ground, pleading with God for this child's life for 7 days. On the seventh day, his servants didn't know what to tell him. But what was the result of all of this? Reading on, beginning with verse 20. David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes, went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house and requested that they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servants said to him, "What is this that you've done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food." And he said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me, that the child may live." David was discouraged because of his sin and the death that it caused. But we find that when there was nothing in this life that David could do to save this child, that he was gone, he continued on with his life. He put that discouragement behind him with the hope that he would one day again see this child after David himself died. But you know, I don't know how often you've thought about this next one, perhaps more than somebody might give you credit for. That is Jesus. Jesus became discouraged. As a man, of course not as God, but as a man, Jesus became discouraged. We read about this in Luke chapter 22, verses 41 through 45. He was withdrawn from them, that is, his disciples, in the garden in the night that he was betrayed. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, let this cup, or take this cup away from me." I'm trying to quote another version. And then verse 43, an angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him. And being in agony, he prayed the more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Jesus, the man, did not want to die. He knew the agony of the type of death that he was facing. He was discouraged at the prospect of being tortured in such a way and having to go it alone. Yet, he was willing to die for your sins. Notice the part that I skipped in the second half of Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. when he prayed, let this cup pass from me, what else did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus had a work to do. And while this part of his work was a discouragement, he didn't allow it to let him quit. He kept on and did the work that God gave him to do. What are some other occasions of discouragement? We see in Paul some type of illness or disability. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 7, Paul says, "And I, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me." Stop right there for a moment. Whatever this was that Paul had, he felt that he could be a better, more efficient, more perfect worker for God if whatever this is be removed from him. And he wanted to do the best that he could. However, as we read on, we find that Paul saw that the suffering that he had with whatever this poor elf put upon him, he saw it as a blessing. He knew that God would be needed to give him the strength to do what he needed to do. He couldn't do it on his own. Verse 9, he, Paul speaking of God here, said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." My personal weakness, my strength comes from the Lord, Paul says. I know that it's not from me. I'm not going to be gloating for the greatness that I've done because I'm weak. But I give God the glory that he continues to allow me to do this work. God is with you in life because of physical illness. Are you not truly strong as Paul was? Illness should draw us closer to God, should make us realize that there are things that man cannot do, but that all things are possible with God. Another area is in physical loss. And what greater example do we have with that than Job? Job lost over 11,500 head of cattle. Wow. He lost 7 sons and 3 daughters. All in the very same day, one right after another, these things are told to him. Notice Job's response to this in chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. Note, as we read on in this, though, that Job's friends turned against him. Job's wife turned against him. But when Job heard what had happened to the things that belonged to him, Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshipped, said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We're told here, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Job recognized that the blessings that he had, that he was in charge of, I should say, had it been entrusted to him by God, that there was nothing of his own. He realized that everything belongs to God. We need to recognize the same thing. We are just stewards of the things that God has placed in our care. Job recognized the sentiment that Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. If we put Christ first in our lives, God will take care of the physical needs. He's promised this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 33. Do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." That's great for all of these people. But what about us? Aren't too often we think our dreams dashed, our hopes shattered, business might fail, might have lost your job, your effort to get a college education might have gone for nothing, maybe on the verge of losing your home. These all seem to be good reasons to be discouraged, don't they? But consider what Paul told the Romans about disappointments in this life. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Paul said, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Does that mean we see all the blessings when our livelihood or things like this are taken away from us? No. But the end result of those who are true followers of God, who are truly looking, seeking diligently a home in heaven, all things work to good, work for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. An example that we have is found in Acts chapter 16, and we're not going to read all of that, but if you take time to look at verses 7 through 40 of Acts chapter 16, you'll find that Paul and his traveling companions wanted to go into Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit would not allow them to go. And because of that, the gospel was first preached on European soil. He went over and preached all the way down as far south as Corinth, because that was God's plan, not Paul's. Joseph is an excellent example for us in Genesis chapters 37 through 46, we read the account of Joseph. He was a favored son of Jacob. He was taken away from his father and sold into slavery, imprisoned unjustly, but in the end, he saved his entire family. of starvation, and he preserved the nation of God. Death is very often a discouraging event. Whether it's a loved one, a very close friend, or if we're facing our own, which we all will someday. We know that death will come to all. It's a part of life. The loss of a loved one is still hard to take, and many become discouraged. Remember in these times that when we seek comfort, we go to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. We are consoled knowing that physical death is not the end, that there is life after it. When we are down because of the loss of loved ones, when we're down because we may be facing some awful disease ourselves, remember that God cares for each and every one, each and every person. It is part of his creation. He wants all to be saved. We live our lives in accordance with his will. We know that we have life, eternal life, after this life. But how do we overcome when we do become discouraged? Because we all will. How do we deal with it? Not in any particular order. I just came upon these and wrote them down. But the first one I have listed here is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, and that is, do not lose heart. We do not lose heart, Paul says. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. These physical things are passing away. In the end, they're going to be burned up. Whatever there is here, even to our physical bodies, they will be burned up. They'll be destroyed. So don't become discouraged at the loss of physical things. We work to serve God to have an eternal reward, an unseen reward, a spiritual reward, a place where discouragement is going to be a foreign concept. There is no more discouragement in heaven. How else do we overcome? By trusting God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, beyond strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We should not trust in ourselves, but God who raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together for us, in helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted us through many. What's the problem here? They faced death, stonings, and beatings. Paul and those following him faced physical death. But even in their discouragement in this, the other brethren encouraged them to continue on with the work that they needed to do. And God gave them the strength to overcome this discouragement. Those who are discouraged need comfort. They need to be upheld and edified. A kind word and a thoughtful prayer for the discouraged will go a long way. When we see someone who is discouraged, do we avoid them because, wow, they're just a bummer, they're going to bring us down? No. We help them in any way that we can. We encourage them. That's the responsibility of a Christian. And to pray for them, leading to that, praying for ourselves. Got ahead of myself here, didn't I? In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Where can we find the peace to overcome discouragement? We find it in prayer. There is where we find the peace of God, in looking to His Word and in praying to Him and asking for the blessings that He has promised. Our hearts and minds will be guarded through Jesus Christ if we look to Him. When we're discouraged, we just pray to God. He can provide the peace of mind that surpasses all understanding. Does that mean that all our troubles are going to go away? No, certainly not. But we do what we can, and when we've done all we can, we place the rest in God's hands, knowing that He will do what's right for us. And don't give up. Whatever you do, don't give up. James in James chapter 5 and verse 11 said, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and very merciful. Trying times, this isn't for me, I found this someplace. Trying times are no time to quit trying. We keep on. Going to leave this. Actually, I'm gonna talk about this one for just a moment. An account that I read somewhere. So there was a young man who ran for the legislature in Illinois and was badly defeated. He then entered business, failed, and spent 17 years paying off the debts. He fell in love with a beautiful young woman, to whom he became engaged, and she died. He re-entered politics, ran for Congress, and was badly defeated. Then he tried again with an appointment to the U.S. Land Office, but failed. He became a candidate for the U.S. Senate, but lost terribly. 2 years later, he was defeated by Douglas. Guess who I'm talking about?
Abraham Lincoln. Yeah.
A better example, of course, for us is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and having sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Jesus was looking for the glory Was it glory for himself? No. It was glory from the Father because he successfully completed the work that God had given him to do. Even though it meant a cruel death on Calvary's cross, he still looked for the joy of fulfilling the work that God had given him to do. Next time you become discouraged, think about Jesus. Endured the shame, the hostility, the cross, but now sits at the right hand of God. The sun sets each evening, but it doesn't become discouraged. It rises again every morning. We can rise above any discouragement that we face if we confront them understanding the Word of God. Trust in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Know that all good things come from God. Look to Him for the strength that you need to overcome discouragement.